that's what it's gonna take, okay? And it's that attitude we talked about. It's that will to win. We got a great opportunity in front of us. Let's have some swagger. Let's embrace this thing. Let's have fun with it, and let's take it home.
We're so proud of this group of players and what they've gone through to win the Stanley Cup. And so to watch each guy raise that Stanley Cup on the ice is such an unbelievable feeling.
Thank you, boys. You guys are the best.
The ups and downs, the frustrations, and then
good morning,
the
elation guys.
At the end is something that
and welcome
is treasured part of it.
To Will Sam and Sam in the morning. I hope you like that introduction.
It was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
I like that introduction. Wow, you know, what's the timer?
Would you call that butt hurt?
I'd call that butt hurt.
Also, hold on, hold on.
26.62 seconds.
Stop speaking. You're a Bruins fan, so I discount anything you say about the Penguins.
That's
I don't think
true.
You're even allowed to say anything because you work for them.
No, I'm just not allowed to spill secrets. I can be a fan.
Oh.
I can do whatever I want.
Oh, can you?
Yeah, because I don't know anything. I'm an intern. They don't even pay me, Will.
Oh yeah, I guess that's true.
Are they gonna
still
hear me on Army Radio?
I discount all of your information.
Let's go Pens,
credible.
Baby. Let's go Pens.
I think he's more credible because he works for the Pens.
Because I've been at every home game since January. Yeah, I feel like that makes me pretty credible.
26.62 seconds.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not surprised.
You know what? I guessed too much because I thought maybe like we wouldn't be able to like get it out of him really
maybe
quick.
Maybe I think he'd be a little tired this morning.
Yeah.
No, I was ready to say something about 5 seconds into that stupid thing.
A little backstory.
Also, that's not even from these playoffs, so I don't understand.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Well, that was the opening hype video for 2017. I just wanted you to listen to what it sounds like to win a Stanley Cup. I don't know if you know what that's like.
17-18 season? Yeah, so that does matter then.
I mean, yeah, it's pretty recent. It's the most recent championship.
Yeah.
There hasn't been another championship, so it's still relevant. But for backstory, Will, and for our listeners that may listen, I don't know, we made a bet to see how quick we could get you butthurt this morning since you were late.
Oh.
And I was like, I got this. But also...
Disgusting.
I don't think video recording was invented the last time the Flyers won the Stanley
Yes,
Cup.
It was, you
were
idiot.
Were there? It was cave people, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a time that was irrelevant. Doesn't matter. You don't have anything.
Kansas City.
Doesn't matter.
Kansas.
You know
City.
All I hear. You know all I hear when he says Kansas City. There's a little voice that whispers, "Back to back."
I mean,
back to back.
You can't
not account for the fact that the team almost went to Kansas City.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
a real
yeah.
thing.
Twice.
That happened.
Well, like,
twice.
It didn't happen, so it's not really that relevant. This video is more relevant than...
The last time the Flyers won the
Kansas
Cup?
City,
what?
Yeah.
Sorry. Wah.
See, the fact of them not winning a cup for so long isn't what frustrates me. It's that everybody says it, and it's like, at this point, I discredit anybody who says that as their only argument because it doesn't show anything.
I mean, but I discredit you because your only argument is Kansas City.
Because I don't need anything else because I never get
well,
it. I never have to learn anything
else. That would be the argument for anyone else that would say that.
I never say it first. Everyone else, until somebody comes along and says, here's another reason, that's when I will give
another reason.
Another
reason for what?
What? I don't know. Anything. Not liking the Flyers. Making fun of me being a Flyers fan. The only thing anybody ever says is, oh, they haven't won a cup since 1975. So until somebody else comes up and says something
else, like
I'm not going to need anything
else to say. I feel like that's the
say.
Same thing. Is that's the only argument I need, is that they haven't won a cup since 1975.
But I never say it first. That's the thing.
I know, but it's because you get butthurt really
easily.
Because
I only need, I don't
to
need
to
do
fair,
anything.
To be fair, what's the most relevant thing, though? I mean, championship wins.
It's true. And like,
why do you think we make fun of? Why do you think we make fun of the Cleveland Browns? Because they never won a Super Bowl.
Okay, but you have to understand that there's more than that that goes into it. Like, if I try to say something actual about hockey, and your only thing you can say is the Flyers haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1975,
But what you've told us, you've provided nothing. You provided nothing additional to this argument, because you even said this is the only argument I need. Is the Kansas City?
No,
argument.
It says I said it's the only one I've used.
Yeah.
Because nobody else says anything else. So I'm going to use that because that's all anybody ever says.
I mean, we can talk about the fact that, I mean, so they made the cup recently, though, right? Like 2010. So, like, you got that going for you.
Game six, they lost because of Patrick Kane, who they passed on to draft James Van Riemsdyk. That makes me mad, but, you know.
Well, I mean, like, you know, as someone who supported the Bruins and still supports the Bruins,
That Eastern Conference Finals really, really hurt you, didn't it?
Huh?
Did that hurt a little bit in your soul?
Which one?
The one in 2010 when they...
I mean, not really, because, you know, they won in 2011.
That's true.
So, at the end of the day, you know, like, we got a cup and you didn't, so...
Yeah.
I'll move past it. It's more of 2013 that hurts, you know, the two goals in a minute and 30 seconds that ended up ending the Bruins season when they were leading with 3 minutes left. And you were like, game seven, here we come. And then you were like, oh, well, at least we're going to go to overtime. And then you're like, oh, my God, we're going to lose. So that hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, should we move on to, you know, the real series? Because it's been an interesting series.
It has. It's been I think it's been
very up and down.
Yeah, on both sides.
And, you know, it's interesting because to me, personally, I mean, you can ask anyone in the Army Century newsroom. I said that the Penguins were gonna win 5-1 before it started. The Penguins, for some reason, play a lot better in Philadelphia than they do at PPG Paints Arena against the Flyers. I don't know why.
Well, until last season, they hadn't won a game against the Flyers at PPG since it opened.
Yeah, which is crazy. And again, it's crazy because especially this year because they're the second best home team in the league behind Winnipeg, who. It's basically, you know, unbeatable at home. I mean, they've been incredible. I mean, you saw the way they dominated Minnesota in the first two and then went to Minnesota and were terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just weird because, again, both the home games before that 7-0 win this season against the Flyers were 5-4 wins in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and they were 5-4 wins where the Flyers easily could have pulled it out if it weren't for the fact that the Penguins are a really good 3-on-3 team. And that's a big difference.
And the Flyers had, like, I think it was like 13 overtime losses this
year.
Yeah,
and they're not so it's the opposite. So it goes into the, you know, Penguin style of play, whereas now you get to the postseason where there's no 3-on-3. So that's a very interesting thing, especially when you're talking about, you know, let's say, you know, again, this gets to a game seven in Pittsburgh, you go to overtime, you know. You think immediately, oh, well, the Penguins are such a good overtime team, but that's 3-on-3.
You have to think about the strength.
Yeah, it's 5-on-5, and there's no shootout afterwards, where, again, I would favor the Penguins in both those situations. 5-on-5, you know, at home, it seems like the Penguins don't really have any significant advantage. It's almost even because of these 5-4 wins. You know that's going to be scoring. It's the only game where the Penguins haven't scored more than 5 goals was that second game of the series.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, what is that? So it's 26 goals in 6 games for the Penguins.
No,
28 goals, yeah.
In the going back into the regular season
because it's 7 goals, 3 goals, 3 times with 5 goals. So that's 15 plus 7. No, 23?
22. 15 plus 7 is 22.
In the past 5 games?
Plus the 1.
It's
23. That they scored.
23
yeah,
in the past
23. There we go. We can do math.
Am I forgetting one? Yeah, I'm forgetting one more 5 because they scored 5-4 times.
Okay.
Yeah, so 28, I was right.
Yeah.
You guys screwed up my math. I was right the first time.
There was a little bit of self-doubt by yourself.
100% self-doubt, but I'm going to blame you guys anyway. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. To me, I would favor the Penguins in an overtime game just because you have Matt Murray in the postseason, and he's been so good.
And the Flyers have Brian Elliott.
Yeah, and, you know, I just – Brian Elliott hasn't – I mean, he's played a lot in the postseason, but he's not really proven in the postseason.
No, and I think the last time he was in the playoffs, I forget. I think he was with the Calgary.
Bulls. Oh, he was with Calgary.
Yeah. And they, like, I think they lost, like, two of the games, like, 7-0 or 8-0. Like,
you know what? Let's look. Let's,
I think I saw. I don't remember what the exact scores were, but I think they got swept.
Yeah, so the last time, you're right, last time he was in the playoffs was with Calgary last year. His save percentage was slightly worse than what it is with the Flyers. It was a 919. Oh man, this computer. All right, let's see how they did in the postseason.
I believe they either lost in five or they got swept.
They lost in five, and Elliot lost three of those.
Yeah.
So that's good. Yeah, he had a save percentage of .880 and a goals allowed average of 3.89.
Gosh. See, and what's tough is, like, the most especially game three, the most frustrating thing to me was that the Flyers completely dominated the Penguins for the first 15-ish minutes of the first period. Penguins didn't get a shot on goal until halfway through. But then, you know, they're dominating, give up the puck once, the Penguins go down and score.
And that's the hard thing.
And it was like, and it's like instant. And you're like, how does that happen?
Yeah.
And so some of it is on the defense, but the defense for the most part has been doing what they're supposed to do in shutting down as much of an angle as possible.
Well, I mean, they did a phenomenal job in game two, because the Penguins in game two did not look like the Penguins in game
one. No.
And, you know, and Hextall really said it at his press conference where, you know, ignore the third period is basically what he said, because that game was over. It was 5-0 going into the last period. He goes, ignore the last period. You know, you can look at all the numbers as a total, but they were out of that game. They were thinking about game two at that point.
Or game three.
No, because I'm talking about...
Oh, in the 7-0. Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And so, you know, they moved on to the next one, and they proved it by the way that their defense adjusted. And to me, it was really disrupting the passing. Because that's where... I mean, that's why the Penguins' power play is so good in the first place, is because they have such good puck movement, and there's this control to it. And it's because you have guys like Sidney Crosby, who really, I feel like he's made his name lately as more of a passer rather than a scorer. You know, he has those flashy goals, but again, his ability to move the puck, and that's why the power play is so good, and you have guys like Hornquist and Kessel and Malkin that are all so great on the power play, they can score that, and you're disrupting that puck movement, which makes it harder to get the power play goals because there's less of an angle, there's less screens being run, you know, the goalie's going to be aware of everything that's going on. It makes it easier, and you're right. I think that, you know, part of that you have to look at and go, you know, Brian Elliott, you know, at what extent are you at fault for this?
And what's with the Flyers, for whatever reason, always seem to go to the extremes. Like, you look at the last time the Penguins and the Flyers played in 2012, they had a bunch of, and not at the same skill level, but essentially, they had a bunch of Evgeny Malkins on their team. Where it was big dudes that could beat their way into the offensive zone and push guys out of the way to get goals. Then that stopped working. So instead of finding a balance, they went and completely shifted to a bunch of small, speedy guys, which works, but doesn't work against teams that are more balanced and have more of those bigger guys, because they just get pushed out of the way. And, like, you saw that a few times. You've seen that a few times in all three games. So, like, it's just, it's one of those things where it's very frustrating, and it's upsetting because, like, everybody has seen how good they can be, and, like, the Wells Fargo Center was on fire
for
game three. Like, people were going nuts, and then they came out and just kind of, like, didn't do anything.
Yeah. No, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, there's so many players. There's guys like Claude Giroux, who's having an incredible year. I mean, he was the second leading scorer in all of hockey.
Yeah, it's the most points he's ever. This is his best statistical year.
Yeah, he's having a career year. you know, he's a guy that seems to always be kind of making his name felt, which is exactly what you want from your captain.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're right. There's a lot of guys on that team that I feel like, you know, are very good making contributions. And, I mean, really, I would say that their least favorable matchup in the playoffs was the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Mm.
And they already got one, which is more than I thought they were going to get. I thought they were going to get swept because I thought that, you know, again, especially after that 7-0, I thought that they really weren't going to bounce back. And to me, that was really big because now you're never going to see that 3-0 deficit, you know? Mm. Like, look at that. I mean, this series hasn't been nearly as close as, let's say, you know, the LA-Vegas series,
mm-hmm.
where Vegas has been pulling out these close ones, but that series is effectively over because it's 3-0.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. it's easier in hockey to come back from a 3-0 deficit, easier mm-hmm. than in any other sport, but it's hard.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You get past these, you know, back-to-back home games for each team, you know, for the Flyers, this game's huge. This game coming up is mm-hmm. huge. You win that. On Wednesday, even it up, and it's 2 PPG, 1 at home. You know, again, I mean, it's a toss-up. It's anyone's series. I mean, you still look at the Penguins roster offensively and see that they're favored. If you're going to go into a series that's more, you know, score, 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 I would feel like you had to favor the Penguins. But it's hockey. That's the other thing you have to consider is it's hockey.
Yeah, you
and
never
anything
know.
Can happen.
The Columbus Blue Jackets are up 2-0 over the Washington Capitals, and the Blue Jackets were the first wild card.
Who would have thought, man?
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's how close the Metro was, too.
Yeah,
you can sit
exactly.
here and say they were favorites, but, man, every team, there's so much parity between all those playoff teams, mm-hmm. and the poor New Jersey Devils had to go play the Lightning.
Well, I think that – did they win?
Yeah, they
night?
Got
yeah,
one.
So it's 2-1 now.
Yeah, I just – I mean, they're not going to win a game in Tampa. It's not going to happen.
Which is surprising because, like, you never really thought of – until probably, like, I'd say 2 or 3 years ago, you never really thought of Tampa Bay as
a huge hockey town. They've been good as of recently. I mean, conference finals against the Penguins 2 years ago. I really think they'll be the team that comes out of the Atlantic as good as the Boston Bruins have looked. They didn't look great last night.
No.
But Tampa Bay's had their number all year. And again, it's hockey. Anything can happen. But if you're going to ask my honest opinion, I think it'll be Tampa Bay that gets out. And I think that if Pittsburgh gets through and Columbus gets through, it'll be Pittsburgh that's seeing them in the conference finals from there. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to happen. Because it's hockey and anything can happen. And both are great teams. But Tampa Bay, statistically, you have to favor them. Because
mm-hmm.
they're a team that not only, you know, you can sit here and say, yeah, back-to-back Stanley Cup champs, but it's not like saying the Lightning don't have playoff experience, and they took the Penguins to 7 games 2 years ago.
Right. Well, and you also have to think about how different every team is this year.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel, for whatever reason, I feel like, especially with Vegas being created this year,
mm-hmm.
I feel like there's been so much that's been, players have been moved around and teams have changed. I don't really have a feeling going into these next few games just because I really don't know what to expect because there's been 2 different teams that have come out for the Flyers in these 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say don't have Brian Elliott start because I don't have 100% faith in Peter Mrazek to do the same thing to not do the exact same thing. So I don't know what, to feel for
you know,
my team right
now. But, and here's the thing though, is even then, you know, I'm sitting here looking at the Flyers lineup right now. So many young guys on that
so
team.
So many.
I mean, you got Konechny with 47 points on the year. He's 20. Mm-hmm. Gostisbehere with 65 points on the year. He's 24. Couturier.
No, Konechny is 21 now.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. He's a month older than me. I know.
Thanks, Will.
Yeah.
All right, so he's 21.
Yeah.
Same thing. He can legally drink now. Proporov's 41 points. He's 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Nolan Patrick is 19. What am I doing with my life? Nolan Patrick's putting up 30 points in the NHL, and he's 19 years old.
Yeah.
And winning 50% of his faceoffs. So, I mean, to me, and then you had Sanheim score last game, he was the lone goal for them, but he's 20.
Yeah.
Or 21, I'm sorry. Yeah, I just, you know, to me, again, I think that's where the Penguins have the edge, is there's a lot more experience on that team. But, again, that's the thing with hockey, is that comes and goes very quickly. And so for the Flyers, it's got to be one of those things where, especially if the Capitals get knocked out in the first round, they're in for a big shakeup this offseason because their coach is probably going to get fired. You know, again, the Penguins.
Which sucks because they were
the best team in hockey like every year.
Yeah, and still the number one team out of the Met this year.
Yeah, and as they are almost, you know, every year.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable. You know, it just seems always like it's going to be the year for the Capitals. And again, the series is not over.
No.
It's just, you know, they have some work to do. Yeah, I mean, and the Penguins, as great as they are, they have a little bit more age on their team. They have some young guys, you know, guys like Ali Mata.
Well, you see, everybody that, like, all of the young guys that came up last year,
yeah,
are it. Like, because if you look down, like, the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins for years were dominant in the AHL. They were, like, the confirmed number one seed for a while. And I think they're in third this year, which I know isn't, like, a huge drop-off, but still, the effects of having all, like, how many young guys moved up at the end of the season going into the playoffs just out of necessity last year.
Well, let's see. You got Gensel.
Like, there is a significant – because especially with all the defensemen kind of, like, dying out right before.
I mean, I will say the one thing the Penguins have a lot of, goaltending.
Yes, and that's one – like, the Flyers are completely and solely resting on the fact of Carter Hart coming up.
Yeah. Yeah, no. Like, I'm looking at the Wilkes-Barre roster right now. Like, Sprong's good, but Sprong's never going to be great in the NHL. Day is – he could be good, but, again, he's not a guy that you're, like, excited about. Bluger is, again, good, but not a guy you're super excited about. Yeah, I mean, the guys they brought up, Aston Reese, you know, again, he's going to be good. But besides that, you know – it's guys that they've brought up, Haggerty and Churchman, and they haven't, you know, done enough to stay up there. So, which, again, you know, Penguins are very good. Definitely harder to stay up there. But besides, you know, goaltending, you're right. There's not as much. Whereas, you know, and that shows in, you know, the fact that the Penguins are a little bit more, you know, veteran in their lineup. Besides guys like DeSmith, and you know, actually even DeSmith is, what, 26? Yeah. Jari's younger. I mean, you're going to have Jari for a while. He's 22. But then, yeah, I mean, your youngest guys are Hagelin, Sprong, Gensel, Aston Reese. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of young guys. I mean, Crosby's 30, Brassard's 30. Malkin's got to be up there. Malkin's 31. Kessel's 30. Hornquist is 31. You know, Haglund's 29.
I just want to point out, I've started to hate Patrick Hornquist a lot more because of the things he's done in this series.
I love Patrick Hornquist.
I hate him.
I think he's scored
dirty.
37% of his career goals on the power play. He is a monster.
There have been so many videos I've seen of him elbowing somebody or grabbing somebody.
See,
or putting his stick in.
You know how many
somebody.
Videos I've seen of people grabbing people and elbowing people and not getting called? I mean, that's irrelevant.
Well, and you know how much, but you know how much stuff is said and how many things go on that people don't see. I don't think that you can make that justification based on just what you see on TV. There's a lot that goes on when people aren't looking. In terms of it's hockey. It's the sport. I mean, have you any of these playoff series? And like, let's be honest too, like these players on both these sides do not like.
Like if they're like to the point where I don't like people stop talking to each other.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like players that have played together. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Aaron Asham went to the Penguins and fought somebody on the Flyers during the playoffs the next year.
Yeah.
And that's the same in any sport, too. I mean, there's – you're just not going to have that.
Yeah, no, exactly. So, yeah. I mean, I love Hornquist. Does Hornquist get into some stuff? Yeah. But, I mean, do a lot of people hate Brad Marchand? Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Do I love Brad Marchand as a Bruins fan? Oh, yeah, I love Brad Marchand.
It's interesting right now because, like, a lot of the guys that are sports writers for the Flyers, like on Twitter or whatever, grew up before the Atlantic and the Met made that switch up. Back when the Met was called whatever it was beforehand.
Oh, yeah. Back when it had, like, names. I remember when
I forget the name, what it was called. Because the Atlantic was still the Atlantic.
Yeah.
But I know the Bruins were in the same division as the Flyers and the Penguins.
Yeah.
So there was.
That does sound familiar. Because so there were four of them, right? There were three, like, divisions.
No, there were four because there were two East and two West.
Oh, okay.
I think. And then they made it six or something like that. I forget what they did. Uh-huh. Or no, it's still four. What am I saying?
I know what you're saying, though.
Yeah. But, like, when they were, like, our age, the Flyers hated fans of the Flyers hated two teams above anybody else, and that was the Pittsburgh Penguins and the Boston Bruins.
Bro, we're 21.
What?
We're 21. What do you mean when they were our age?
Yeah, the sports. I'm talking about sports writers.
Oh, okay.
Not
players.
No, not okay. Players. I'm talking about the fans.
Sam's
and people.
Like. They are our age.
Yeah. We just talked about this.
You just
They're
blew his mind,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, I know.
He was like, this is happening right now. Oh, a word. But, yeah.
Yeah, like, so I've seen so much of, like, Brad Marchand getting hit in the other series, not even in a series against the Flyers, and everyone being like, yeah, down with Brad Marchand. Like, why don't you focus on our series, guys?
But hey, you know what? I will say so far, I'm very happy with how the NHL playoffs have turned out.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, do I think Vegas is going to go all the way? No.
No.
I'm excited they're making a run. Because again, I think it's something, you know, this is the greatest expansion team ever. You know, I think people don't realize the significance of what we're watching. You know, no expansion team has ever done this well. This quickly.
This fast, yeah.
And, you know, to be, you know, about to be themselves, you know, two series away from the Stanley Cup final is incredible. And what's exciting besides that is, you know, again, the only series that are in danger of a sweep right now are San Jose, Anaheim, and Vegas, Los Angeles, which is in the same section of the bracket right now.
Did you watch any of the Sharks-Ducks game last night?
It got bad,
dude. It got real bad.
Yeah. I mean, just...
Is it, what, the final 8-1?
Something. Yeah, 8-1.
But they scored, like, if you looked at it, it was a very different game at the end of the first and the end of the second, because they were tied or leading. Yeah, they were leading 2-1, Sharks were, at the end of 1. Then the end of 2, they were leading 5-1. And then by the final, they were leading 8-1.
Well, what's crazy is Martin Jones, former Manchester Monarch, by the way, he made 45 saves for the Sharks. Like, it wasn't like it was just one of those, like, onslaughts. Like, he was doing work.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I feel like he still could have let up, you know, 5 goals and they would have been fine. But,
yeah.
I mean, just really great all-around game. I didn't think Anaheim had a shot. They barely edged out San Jose for that home ice in that first round. San Jose has just played so much better against them this season. So that doesn't really shock me. What shocked me was that Minnesota Winnipeg game the other night.
Yeah.
Where Minnesota, I mean,
it was
6-2,
right?
Yeah. Winnipeg's really good at home, just not good on the road.
Oh.
Which should be interesting because they're probably going to face Nashville if they move on to the next round.
Yeah. Which Nashville just lost on the road, too.
Yeah, which they did. So, again, you're looking at a series that could go seven purely on the merit that these teams are really good at home, especially because, like, I mean, a home atmosphere in the playoffs for Nashville right now, I mean, they love their hockey.
I mean, yeah, and I can't even imagine Colorado because it's like, how long is it? I don't even know how long it's been since their last playoff game.
Yeah, but I mean, they were the worst team in hockey last year.
Yeah, I don't remember them being in the playoffs. So it was probably like, and I could be completely off on this, but like mid-2000s?
Let's see. We're gonna do a little sleuthing here, boys.
My favorite kind of oothing.
Oh. Is there another kind of oothing?
Yeah, I didn't know that. Well, you know, I knew Sam would definitely be an oother. Just look at him.
You gotta enjoy the oothings in life.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know where we're going.
So while Sam's... Oh, did you find it?
2013-2014, they lost in the first round. And then they didn't make the playoffs until 2009-2010 when they lost in the quarterfinals. The last time they were in the Stanley Cup Finals was when they won in 2000. So in that year, they had 118 points. They went 15, 16, and 10. That is impressive. But 2013-2014, they had 112 points. They went 52-22.
Really?
And 8.
Huh.
Yeah. So
who did they lose to?
That is a good question. I can figure that out. Give me one.
But still, like, at this point, that was, what,
five years ago? Yeah. No, definitely not that impressive. So, I hate this computer. But, yeah, I mean... That's the thing with hockey, though, is it's so there's so much parity. You know, you could have long stretches of not making the postseason, but ultimately it's because other teams are, you know, it's almost never the best team ever. And they lost to the Wild in seven games was what happened. The Minnesota Wild won a playoff series. That doesn't happen a lot.
So you had said the Penguins are they have a good chunk of guys that are getting older.
Yeah. I mean, Crosby, Kessel, Malkin, Brassard. Their top four playoff performers, they're all in their 30s. I mean, most of them are 30.
So then my question is, and it's purely opinion on you two, because I really could care less. Do they fall apart? And if so, when?
The Penguins?
Yes.
Well, here's the thing that's interesting. So... Jim Rutherford is a phenomenal GM, but I also think he's aware of the fact that, you know, he's riding the high while it lasts. I mean, you see him making moves like going to get Derek Brassard and, you know, getting guys like Kessel and really investing in these older guys because it's a win now mode right now.
Yeah.
And even he's said that in the NHL, that's not sustainable. Mm. You can't be like the New England Patriots are, where they compete for the Super Bowl every year. It just doesn't happen. To me, what's telling is when he invested in that 5-year contract with Hornquist. He's going to play until he's 36.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you invest in a 5-year contract so that a guy feels safe. He's secure in his contract, but also, you know, you're kind of aware you're going to get two bad years.
Yeah.
You know, 36 isn't, I mean, he could easily, you know, potentially play well until he's 36, but at the same level, I just don't think so.
A lot less likely.
It's a lot less likely. Exactly. Especially for all those guys. I think 3 more years, in my honest opinion, because you have guys like Crosby and because you have guys like Malkin and Kessel that are so talented that can sustain it a little longer. But when you have all those guys that are starting to age, it's hard. It really is. And to come and be consistent every year in a league that's probably going to change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I mean, because it always does. It helps to have guys like Matt Murray and Casey DeSmith and Tristan Jarry and Jake Guentzel and Zach Aston-Reese and, you know, these younger guys that are really talented. But, I mean... You'd be naive to say that they're never going to be bad again.
Mm-hmm.
So I say 3 years.
I've heard a lot, and it's kind of tough to judge them because they're playing with these top level guys, but I've heard things that these young guys only appear to be so good because they're playing with
so
these older.
You want
players.
My honest opinion on some of these guys?
Mm-hmm.
I think Gensel's legit. I think Matt Murray's legit. I don't think Sherry's as good as he. You know, he had that game winning goal in game two of the 2016 Cup final.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been sensational this year. He's been okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think players like Simone and Aston Reese are not guys like Gensel. I think in terms of levels, it goes the top ones are Gensel. I think Gensel's going to be a star. I really think that if he had a team of his own, he'd be scoring a lot more points. He scores less just purely because, you know, he's there. He's with the Penguins. But, yeah. Sorry, I realized where we are in time. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, well, actually, Gensel was one of the ones that I heard has only been playing so well because he's been on these lines with these guys.
See, but the thing with Gensel that makes him good is he's a pure, like, he can score. Like, mm-hmm. he has that, I mean, he makes looks for himself, and he's very good. And it helps to have a guy like Sidney Crosby, you know, getting you the puck or
Kessel
or Malkin.
Well, and that's what a lot of people were saying about Panarin, because he was on a line with Patrick Kane, and, you know, you're the guys on a line with somebody like that, their point value is gonna inflate.
Oh, of course.
So I around that time I was hearing the same thing about Gensel in particular. I know Matt Murray has kind of burst onto the scene. I don't think he's gonna be as good or as long as Fleury was.
See, I disagree because he's so much better in the playoffs than Fleury ever was.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to make him sustainable is he might not be as great in the regular season, but he'll be like a Timmy Thomas where it just for something about postseason play turns him on. But
until he wants to be with his family.
I don't want to talk about it. We're going to move on. and that's actually all the time we have. So on that note, I'm going to sign off and give my prediction for the Penguins series. So this is Sam Anthony signing off, and I have the Penguins winning in six.
This is Sam Perrin signing off. I don't know too much about hockey, but I'd like to see the Penguins win because I live in Pittsburgh. International Champions Cup, schedule released in 11 minutes and 40 seconds.
Oh,
so
boy.
Be fun.
He's hype. Get hype.
A lot of big soccer clubs coming to the United States. Love you, Mom. Go Colonials.
And this is Will Camilleri signing off. I'm going to say Flyers in seven.
I like it. You know, if the Flyers are going to do it, it's going to be in
seven. It's going to be in seven. I don't think they're going to be able to do it in six. Yeah. But
stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Game four Wednesday.
The Eagles still won the Super Bowl. Go
Nova
Birds.
Still won the
Nova national still won the men's national championship. The Sixers.
Yes, I muted him.